Coming up on today's show, we get a post-mortem report from Chainers Field of Screams in Botkins, Ohio. While Chainers is a small, family-run haunt, they had a stellar year and raised a lot of money for charity, but they're also finding ways to stay involved in December, including ringing the bell for the Salvation Army and participating in a local mascot contest. And so my question to you is, what are you doing to stay involved with your community? But before we get to the interview, Daryl has some news for us.
Animals can be very funny, especially at Halloween, but if you lose one, you panic. Rue, a family dog, went missing in Virginia Beach, and he was picked up 2 weeks later in Norfolk. That's like 18 miles away. He went missing on October 30th while he was wearing his Halloween costume. The family was so active in posting information about Rue's disappearance and the costume that he was wearing that the Norfolk Animal Control individuals say they knew exactly who he was when they picked him up. They also mentioned, while we may never know exactly how Rue ended up in Norfolk, he is back home now with his family sporting a new microchip to help him get home in the future if needed, because you're not always wearing your Halloween costume. They ended the post with a message to other pet owners who may find themselves in a similar situation. Keep checking all your local shelters and posting on social media. You never know what little detail will stand out to help someone identify your pet. In some darker news, Utah prosecutors have filed charges against a person who hosted a Halloween party in the Provo-Orem suburb of Levi. The city said the police shut down a party at a commercial building after receiving a nuisance complaint on Halloween Day. The city prosecutor charged the event host with a health order violation, nuisance violation, and disorderly conduct. The property owner was charged with a nuisance violation, fire code violation, and health order violation. Coronavirus cases had been substantially increasing in the state in recent weeks, and a week before Halloween, Governor Gary Herbert had warned residents that the state's health system was near capacity as a result of the pandemic. They'd asked residents to avoid large gatherings during the holidays. We've talked in the news before about how it's very important that you do follow all of the local laws. Even if there's something that we want to do, make sure that you are doing it safely. It does put a black mark on everybody in the industry. Fortunately, this doesn't appear to be another haunt. This seemed to be a private party. The Dark Woods Adventure Park in Natchitoches, Louisiana, had a little bit of a fire. Jason and Mandy Summerlin, the owners and operators of Dark Woods, mentioned, "We were heartbroken to discover a structural fire in the gatehouse building of Dark Woods Adventure Park and Dark Woods Haunted Attraction. The fire report indicates this was caused by an electrical situation within a parked golf cart and was not an act of arson. Despite the situation, we feel incredibly lucky there were no injuries and are moved beyond words by the outpouring of support from our community and the hundreds of people that came to our assistance this morning. They want to thank the City Fire Department, the utilities, Tim Moran and Brad Pickett Electric for their speedy work on this and look forward to reopening as soon as we can and welcoming the community back to Dark Woods for Christmas in the Park and the Lost Treasure Mining Company." More details are available on their Facebook page at facebook.com/darkwoodsadventurepark. Now that Halloween and Thanksgiving are over, there's another holiday around the corner. Just because some of you celebrate it and some of you don't celebrate it doesn't mean that there's not a good reason for an anti-Christmas song. Our friend Jonathan Bailey has come up with the Anti-Christmas 2020 playlist. Starting off with "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," including such songs as "Drunk on Christmas," "Smothers Brothers Doing Santa Claus," "Oscar Hates Christmas," "Santa's Beard" by They Might Be Giants, a little bit of GWAR, a little bit of Weird Al, Sarah Silverman, some Krampus songs. It's something for everybody, or just the anti-Christmas folk, to listen to. Now, I know many of you Halloween people do a lot of decorating for yourselves on Halloween, decorating your houses, your haunts, doing all that sort of stuff. Maybe we can hear from the people who do celebrate Yule, Christmas, or another one of the winter holidays. And how do you guys keep it Halloween-y? Whatever holiday it is that you decide to celebrate at the end of the year, let's hear about how you guys keep a little bit of Halloween in there. A couple of other posts from Haunter's Toolbox that you may or may not have seen. First of all, we talked about what kind of parties you guys have after the end of the season to celebrate your haunt and celebrate the staff. And there's also a Black Friday post that had a lot of vendors showing what they have for sale. Some of these sales may be over, but some might be carrying on. Check them out and add your opinions to both.
As always, thank you for the news, Daryl. For today's interview, I'm not doing anything. Actually, Max from the Ohio's Haunters Association did this interview all by himself, which has been nice to have a little bit of a break. So let's hear what Max and Pyle have to say.
Hey everyone, Maximus here from Ohio, and I'm here to speak with a haunt owner post the 2020 season to get their thoughts on the season and maybe some looks into the next one. So here with me today, all the way from Botkins, Ohio, owner of Chainer's Field of Screams, is Pyle Hazard. Pyle, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, and thank you very much for having me on this. Chainer's Field of Screams is just a small haunt, and the reason that Chainer's even started was that the money that gets raised by Chainer's gets to go to Relay for Life here in Shelby County, Ohio. Another thing we were able to do this year, and I'm very excited to announce this, we were able to have so many people that we actually donated to the fire department and the Salvation Army's EDS that just started recently.
What are some changes you had to make to your normal show to make this season happen?
We're actually only in our third year, so we were still small, and when we were getting crowds, we were able to figure out how to do everything. Bigger haunts have bigger crowds come in right off the bat, but we actually did get into a problem where so many people were coming that we just needed to keep them separate. So one of the things that we actually had to put up was like a little snow netting. This little fencing that we actually had put up, it just kept people back until their numbers were called. That way it gave everybody an opportunity to sit by the fire or spread out and just be with your groups.
So did that work out all right as far as the numbering system goes and spacing people out to go through the haunt?
Yeah, I mean, we had a couple of hiccups, I'm not going to lie. I mean, who doesn't have hiccups? But yeah, it worked out really well. We just had to figure out that as soon as we got that snow fence up, everybody would start listening a lot better for their numbers versus, oh, well, the entrance is right there, I should go right there.
What was the audience response like?
We did get a wonderful response. And not only did we get a wonderful response, we got a wonderful response right in the beginning of the night that would carry on for hours, which was great. But, you know, me as an owner, me as a haunter, me as a person that's done this for years, I always want to see one more person, one more group. So at the end of the night, when they start slowing down, everybody was like, okay, we can calm down. But I always wanted that one more person. But in the beginning, it was just absolutely no one could get their stuff quick enough.
Mm-hmm. Was there any like changes midway through the season that you felt like you had to do?
We have this tent, and in this tent, we have to make sure that we keep people away, this and that. Yeah, the clowns get to play in the tent, but we had to tweak it up because there was one spot that one person was actually scaring in, and they were coming too close. They didn't feel good. Some of the people didn't feel good. And, you know, it just was something that we had to change. The scarers, the volunteers actually were the ones that made the change and decided that they were going to spread themselves out in different spots and not be in that area nearly as much as what they were in the beginning.
Was there any actor or actress standouts for you this year amongst your cast?
So absolutely. There's always people that stand out. There's always people that show up that you look at and say, man, I wish they would have been here tonight. Or, man, it was so great that they did show up. And, you know, one of the co-owners is Jerry Pence. And, you know, he's actually one of the scarers. From point A to point B, he's actually one of those people that I'm really glad that's out there. He is my father, but, you know, without him being out there and working his scene and building his scene, I just know that there would not be such a great response on this. Another person that is a volunteer, she's not a scarer, is my mom. I mean, this is a family thing, but it's always great to see my mom's excited about it, even though she's had a 12-hour day at work. The Hamby family, I can't say enough about them, guys. I mean, absolutely. When you go and you're in a family, it's always a great thing. And Hambys, thank you very much for everything that you guys do. It seems like you can fix anything by just touching it.
What is some stuff you guys are getting into in the off season?
Well, our haunt can't be open a little here, a little there. So we're actually going out into the community. On December 12th, we took it upon ourselves to ring the bell for the Salvation Army for a whole 12 hours. I mean, that's from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. Not only are we doing that, we also have online kettle that goes to support the Shelby County Salvation Army. And I'm just going to let you know that Spooky, our new mascot that we have, he is actually going to be in the Battle of the Mascots for the toy drive that is coming up in the first Friday of December at Walmart. I know I'm going to be so tired from that, but, you know, I work so much. What's a little more sleep deprived, right?
Well, just, take some time for yourself, of course, too. So where can people find out about your haunt, social medias, that kind of thing?
So you can also look us up on Google. We're here, Chainers Field of Screams. You guys can like us, share us on Facebook at Chainers Field of Screams. And when you do that, you can actually see what we're doing in the community. We try posting that we got stuff going on.
Well, Chainers Field of Screams in Bakken's, Ohio. Thank you so much, Pyle, for coming on. And I look forward to hearing more from you throughout the year.
And that is it for today. From the Haunted Attraction Network, I'm Philip, and this was your Haunt News Briefing. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you catch our shows every Tuesday and Thursday. And if you like this episode, please leave us a review in iTunes and share this episode with a friend. Today's episode was sponsored in part by Gantam Lighting and Controls. It was produced by me, Philip Hernandez, with post-production and editing by David Swope, and music provided by Chris Thomas. The news was reported by Daryl Plunkey. And if you want to be part of the conversation, join our Facebook group at Haunters Toolbox. If you have news or a story to report, drop me a line at philip@hauntedattractionnetwork.com. And until next time, everyone, stay scary.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.